Brilliant. Thank you so much, Mason, for reading that so well. Why don't you give him a round of applause? That's fantastic. Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to see you all. Do please, if you haven't already, turn to the Bible passage, and you can find that on page 1008. So that's 1008 in the church Bibles. Let me pray before we begin. And we come before you, Lord, to thank you so much for giving us your word. Thank you so much for the chance to gather together once again this Sunday to listen to something that you've got to say to us this morning. May we come with open eyes, open ears, open hearts to receive in what you have to say through your word. And we thank you so much once again that you speak to us and you continue to speak to us through your word, to show us your glory, to show us your will, to show us Jesus Christ, to show us the way of righteousness and the way of salvation found in him. So may you encourage our hearts this morning. May you convict us, transform us, and move us as we listen to these words. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Bible passage this morning tells us of a great tragedy. A great tragedy. You will be surprised to hear that the great tragedy was not the beheading of John the Baptist. The great tragedy was not the beheading of John the Baptist, even though it was gory and bloody and gruesome. Yes, John did not deserve such a gruesome and unjust death, for he had done nothing wrong. He was a godly man, a righteous man, a man of truth who loved and lived for Jesus. His death, though, was no great tragedy, because his death was the ticket into the presence of God. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Why is dying gain for a Christian? Just two verses later, Paul tells us in verse 23, "I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Being with Christ in the presence of Christ in heaven is far better than living on earth away from the presence of his Savior. Or as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 84, verse 10, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." John the Baptist was in prison by himself, surrounded by wicked people. So his death freed him into the house of his God. Instead of it being a tragedy, it was a great triumph. John's life and death was a great triumph. As he lived faithfully serving his Lord and Savior, he fought the good fight of faith until the very end. The great tragedy is a man who lived with great wealth, power, and position on earth while rejecting the truth, rejecting Jesus in order to continue living a life of sin. That's the great tragedy we have this morning in our Bible passage and in life in general. In God's grace and mercy and kindness, he sent John to King Herod, a herald of the truth, a preacher of Christ, to give Herod an opportunity to turn to God and reform his ways. But Herod had him killed. Even though we are given details of John's death, the focus of the Bible passage is King Herod, as God uses him as a warning for us. Through King Herod, God is saying, don't let this happen to you. Don't be like King Herod. Don't live like him. Who was King Herod? King Herod and his dynasty were colonial rulers over Judea and Galilee under the Roman Empire. One of the unspoken rules that should be common sense to all colonial rulers is that they should not unnecessarily offend the moral norms of the people they are ruling. Being in a position of great power, authority, and responsibility is hard enough, and a wise and good ruler would ensure that they would rule without unnecessary controversy that will make their leading even more difficult. If they want to be respected, a foreign ruler should do all they can to live in a way that gains the respect of their subjects. Well, King Herod was not that kind of ruler. He trampled on the moral culture of his Jewish region by marrying Herodias, who was actually his niece, which was an incestuous relationship according to the law of Moses, and who was also his brother's wife, committing adultery at the same time. He offended and outraged everybody. This was terrible, terrible leadership, because it was so self-seeking. It was so self-indulgent of him. He was living by his rules and his ways, and the only person willing and bold enough to publicly challenge him and risk his life in doing so was John the Baptist. As a result, Herodias pressured King Herod to have him arrested and put into prison, but she wanted to go further. She wanted John the Baptist to be killed in order to shut him up permanently. A form of cancel culture. Herodias hated the truth. She didn't like the fact that her relationship was being confronted and called out for what it was. And the only person standing in her way was her husband, King Herod. And we are told something very interesting in verse 20. Herodias was not able to kill John the Baptist, and verse 20 tells us why. Because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Here is what is interesting. On the one hand, Herod liked to hear John the Baptist. Something about John's preaching pulled him in. It captivated him. It attracted him. There was something in it that touched his heart, something that he found sweet, something good and satisfying in John's words. Now we know what John would have been preaching. He would have been preaching Christ. And we know this because in the Gospels, John is always talking about Jesus. For example, in John chapter 1, verses 29-31, we're told, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Herod was spiritually curious and was able to tolerate John calling out his sin over and over again because he found in John's preaching something that pulled him in. That's on the one hand. And on the other hand, we're also told that Herod was greatly puzzled, or in other translations, the Greek word is translated perplexed. The Greek word means to be at loss as to what to do. It means to be paralyzed by indecision, to come at a junction and not know which way to turn. It is the place of doubt and internal division. Herod was divided. Here was John the Baptist, a citizen of heaven, living for the city of God in the city of man, which has rejected the rule of God and ruled by sinful human beings. John is living in the city ruled by people, but he's not living like them. He's not like everybody else in the world because he is living as a citizen ruled by God. John comes to Herod and tells him of another kingdom. He tells him of another king and another way of life ruled by this wonderful king. John comes with a totally different worldview and a totally different way to live. And Herod is divided. He is pulled towards the city of God and he's pulled by the city of man. At the same time, he is repulsed by it and attracted by it. He fills the pool to join John on his path to the city of God, but at the same time, he is too attached to the city of man. He finds the city, God's city, attractive. He finds it attractive, but he loves this world, the world where he can indulge in his sins and has wealth and power. He believes, but he does not believe, because he is filled with doubts and competing attractions. So Herod is perplexed, he's puzzled, he's uncertain. John has destabilized everything that Herod knew to be true, and it has caused Herod to doubt himself in all that he thought was true and good about himself and about the world. This kind of doubt, when this happens to somebody, is a good thing. It is a grace. It is a mercy from God, because it gave Herod an opportunity to change his life. John's preaching led Herod to be puzzled, because it drove him to question the very foundation of his life and his identity. What was the source of Herod's joy? What was the source of his worth, his purpose? What was his most treasured possession? What did he build his life upon? John's preaching got to the heart of these issues. That's why we are told Herod feared John. John was in chains and in prison, so it wasn't the kind of physical fear of violence that he feared. What it means is that Herod was filled with reverence, filled with awe and respect for this holy man. That's why Herod wanted to protect him. He could see John's integrity. He could see John's godly character and courage. He could see that John was living for something beyond this world, something not of this world. He could see that this was the only man who was gutsy enough to challenge him, a man not afraid to die for speaking the truth. He could see this man was living for something more than wealth. He was living for something more than power and position, a comfortable life and a good time on this earth. He could see that John wasn't like everybody else. He could see he lived a sacrificially selfless life, serving his Lord and Savior. Herod could see that John truly believed what he was preaching, because he was willing to go to prison and even die for what he believed. As a result, what John believed made it believable. That's what makes Christianity believable. When those who confess to be Christian actually live out and die for the truth claims they claim to be true, it gets people thinking, is there more to life than this? Is my worldview actually wrong? Have I got things wrong? So Herod feared John, because in John, he was confronted with the reality of another realm, and it threw him into doubt and confusion. If Herod's worldview was correct, then someone like John should not exist. But he did, and it caused him to question everything. Herod had never met a man like John before, a man who was so much like Jesus Christ that when Herod heard about Jesus Christ, he first thought it was John the Baptist, raised from the dead. Jesus sounded like John, because John was like Jesus. Now here is the great tragedy, verse 21. Finally, the opportune time came. Finally, the opportune time came. The opportunity came for Herodias to kill John the Baptist and close the window that Herod had of taking the path that John was offering him. Herod had his fair share of opportunities to not only release John, but to believe his message. King Herod was a hearer of the word again and again, but he did not put it into practice. He did nothing with what he heard. It did not change him, and it did not change his life. He was so close to the kingdom of God. It was in his grasp, and he hesitated. He dilly-dallied, and remained on the fence. But Herodias saw her opportunity and acted quickly, decisively, to kill John the Baptist. And Herod's opportunity was gone forever. This is the great tragedy. When you see the need to change, to do what's right, to conform your life to the will of God, to make a commitment to live for God, to give yourself fully to God, to do what God's word says, to make peace with someone you have fallen out with, to tell someone you love about Jesus, to give up a sinful habit, don't be like King Herod, who kept putting it off, who kept wavering, because the opportunity might not stay open forever. The window might close at any moment and the opportunity gone. When the opportunity came and Herod was forced to make a decision to save John's life or to take it, what was it in the end that pulled him in the wrong direction? Why was John willing to die for the truth and Herod so unwilling to do what was right and save a man's life? Why was John so willing to die to self and Herod so willing to preserve self and lose the opportunity to change course? Herodias knew the answer because she knew her husband well. Herodias knew her husband's greatest fear and his greatest love, and saw the opportunity to use that fear and that love to get what she wanted. You see, the difference between John's courage and Herod's cowardness is quite simple, really. Their lives were built on two very different foundations. John's life was built on God. Herod's life was built on anything but God, which is sin. King Herod's worth, his sense of identity, his sense of importance and value, and what made him feel good about himself did not come from God. Every single person is building their life and identity on something or someone. It is their personal savior, as it were. It is either God or is an idol, a counterfeit God. It could be anything. And whatever that thing is, a person becomes a slave to it. It becomes your master. It masters you, possesses you, and controls you. For Herod, we see what that is. He loved the affirmation and approval of powerful people. This is what made him feel good. This was what made him happy and gave him a purpose in his life. As a result, he was afraid to lose face by going back on his promise that he said in front of very important people. King Herod built his life on status, on power, on recognition and the respect of these powerful people. And Herodias knew he could not lose face. She knew he would not want to look bad in front of others. And that's when she knew she had him. Here's a secret to the John the Baptist kind of life and a secret to a faithful Christian life. A life where nothing in the city of men masters you. Nothing controls you. It is a life that is built on the foundation of another king. A life ruled by another king. A king unlike King Herod. A king who loves you so much more than power. So much more than prestige and the respect of powerful people. A king who was willing to lose his life to save yours. King Herod cowardly killed John the Baptist to save his life. Jesus Christ died to save John the Baptist and you and I. If you and I build our lives on anything else apart from King Jesus, then we become slaves to anything. We become like King Herod. Herod was controlled by the fear of people because he loved his reputation. But John built his life on the fear of God because he loved God's reputation. And nothing in this world could master him. He feared nothing. He feared no one. That's power. That's true freedom. That's how we become bold and courageous to do and say the things, right things, whatever the cost, and live faithfully in the city of man as citizens of the city of God. That's how we make Christianity believable and make Christ known in an unbelieving world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you call us to build our lives on something strong, something powerful, something of a sure foundation. And thank you, Lord, that you are and can be our rock. You can be the foundation of our very lives. Help us, Lord, in our lives as we journey in this city of man. Help us, Lord, to build our lives on a foundation and rock that is Christ Jesus. To be free from slavery to sin, to be free to be slaves of Christ and your righteousness. Help us, Lord, not to be like King Herod, who missed the opportunity to do what was right, to turn to you, to love you, to live for you. Help us, Lord, be like Jesus Christ, like John the Baptist, who did not fear anything apart from you and submitted their whole lives to you, whatever the cost. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.